Father, we come before you and just thank you so much for this day, Lord, that we woke up, that we're alive, and we just confess how much we are desperate for you and how much we need you so very much. And we come to your house of worship, to seek you, Father, to seek your face, to praise your name, and to learn something about you. Dear Lord, we just ask for help right now that you would open our hearts, let us understand your words, Father, that it would change us and make us like Christ. Please bless each person in here, and I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to them through your holy words, and let us just be a light to this sin-sick world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alrighty. Well, this morning we've been studying the book of Luke, and we've made it all the way to Luke chapter 9. And I guess it was 2 weeks ago I was with y'all, and we discussed the feeding of the 5,000, that great miracle that Jesus performed. And we're going to be moving right along to Luke chapter 9. And I'd like to cover verses 18 through 27, and maybe spend more time here on 23 through 27. Let me begin at verse 18 of chapter 9. Verse 18. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." And he strictly charged them and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Verse 23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." So I'd like to just briefly make a comment here on this first section. And as we're beginning, just to say this once again, if you ever have a question, just go ahead and raise a hand and ask it. If you've got a comment, please share. Those are very beneficial to all of us. So in this first section, right, the title here in my Bible, it says, Peter's confession confesses Jesus as the Christ. And I hope that that's something that has been building in us, has been welling up in us, just that assurance that Jesus is the Christ. As we've been studying Luke and we've seen all that is being fulfilled about him, all that Jesus is doing and his wisdom and his teaching, and just last week that he fed the 5,000, and all this is pointing to the fact that he is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. He was the one that was written about, who is to come into the world. And right, we see Peter understands that. And he says Jesus is the Christ of God. And right, as we read the Scriptures, that's what I hope that God ultimately wants us to come to, that realization that Jesus is the Christ. He is God's one and only Son. And I'd like to move on and spend a majority of our time down in verse 23. Let's pick up there. Verse 23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And I'd like to take this kind of slow and try and understand what each one of these words means. And then by the end of this lesson, I think we'll have a fuller understanding of what exactly Jesus is trying to say here. So first off, let's look at, it says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And then right before that, he says, and he said to all, right? So we see all and we see anyone. So that is a great hope, right, that anyone can come to Jesus, right? Whosoever believes in him. This is, there's a wide open door. There's a wide open invitation. Anyone can follow Jesus Christ. And then another thing we can take from this is Jesus is not just calling certain groups of people to follow him, or to take up their cross, or deny themselves. But he's saying anyone. He's saying anyone who is to follow me. All. And it's not just the preachers. It's not just the church leaders. But everyone is required to do these things that we're talking about here. And, right, we get the sense here that it's an invitation that we are to walk in the same manner in which he walked. We were to follow after his footsteps. And 2 points here from 1 John. I quote this all the time. 1 John 2:6 says, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." I believe what we're reading here in Luke, it's an invitation to imitate Christ. It's to walk in his footsteps, right? Anyone who's coming after me, he has to do the same things that I'm doing. He has to walk in the same way, and there are no exceptions. And then, while we're in 1 John, look at 3, 2 through 6. I found this kind of interesting, or 3, 2 through 3. It says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." So we see in this life, we are to walk in the same way in which he walked in the here and now. And then also in the life to come, we're going to be like Jesus. So I think those are kind of interesting points. And right on the second verse we read in 1 John, knowing that we will be like him, right, that should motivate us. That should drive us to purify ourselves. And I think that's you know, one of the purposes that we're going to uncover here in Luke chapter 9. And so right, he's saying, he's telling this to all, he's telling this to anyone that would come after me. And right, it's an invitation as we said, walk in his footsteps and to imitate him. And we read in Ephesians 5:1. Let's turn over there and read that real quick. I'll let you turn there. It says, Ephesians 5:1, therefore, be imitators of God. And the King James says, followers of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So, right, we're seeing here again the purpose of Christianity and the purpose of what we're supposed to be doing as we are supposed to follow in Jesus' footsteps, right? We are to be imitators of God in justice. He laid his life down for us, so we too are to lay down our lives for his purposes and for our brothers. So I think that's kind of neat to see that and to see that we have an opportunity to be participants with God. And let's talk about verse 23. It says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. Let's talk just a little bit about this word himself. So Jesus is calling us to deny himself. What do we think that means? Any thoughts? Okay, what's that, Carrie? The things in the world that we desperately want, but they oftentimes cause problems. Yes, especially if they're against God's will and they're sinful, for sure. What else do we think about self? What is Jesus saying here? Deny self. Not to be, sure, absolutely, not to be selfish, for sure. Yes. You're saying being ready to move when God says to move, is that what you said? Okay, yeah, I believe that's definitely important, and we'll come around to that eventually. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and this talks a little bit about this idea of self. So 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And it tells us, but understand this, that in the last days, and one important thing, whenever you read last days, that is referring to the time period which we are all in. And that refers to the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the church, and then until Jesus returns again. So this is the time period in which we live. We're living in the last days. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. So, right, I think that's kind of an in-depth summary of the problem that Jesus has here, right, of those who are lovers of self. And I think this long list of things. This is what God can't deal with, right? This is what Jesus is coming to the world to fix, right? The problem of the heart of man being hard and being evil, right? The sinful nature. And Jesus is coming, and he is asking us to lay that down and to deny self and to not deny our own passions and evil, right? It's a call for repentance. And these people, right, this list that we just read, right, this is the reason for the problems we have in society, right? This is why people can't get along. This is why we have war. This is why there's so much pain and misery, because of the effects of sin, because of the effects of our evil heart. And Jesus here is giving the solution. And we're going to find this out as we keep reading what exactly the solution is. And right, these people with all of these problems cannot inherit the kingdom of God, right? It would corrupt God. He's a holy God. So how is God going to accept these people into heaven? How can they be saved? So let's keep some of those thoughts in mind as we continue to read this passage. So again in verse 23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So, right, the solution is given. Do we see this? The solution is given, and it is to take up your cross daily and follow me. And one little thing just to bear in mind in our upbringing, and since we've been around Christianity and we've heard these terms thrown around so many times, we're not shocked to hear this, right? To hear, take up your cross and follow me. A cross is a very prominent image in our society. We see them everywhere. But at this time period, when the people heard him saying this, this was very strange teaching and radical in every sense of the word. It's a very bold and very demanding. And I'm sure the disciples here, they're thinking, you know, what is this strange teaching? Yes, sir. Yeah. Let's, absolutely. So, yeah, the comment was there's a lot of Sunday morning only Christians. And if we we believe in the inspiration of God's Word and we hold to every single word of the Bible, we'll read here that it says, take up your cross. And he could have left it there, right? He could have left it there, but he gives us vivid detail. He says, daily, right? And follow me. So there's no excuses here. This is not just a one-time thing, but right, it's a continual action. It's a lifestyle, and it is a daily practice. So anyway, this is a radical statement. This is the first time these disciples had heard this, and surely they're got to have some wild thoughts going through their mind. What is this teacher? What is this rabbi? What is this prophet? What is he teaching? This new teaching about taking up your cross. And now we will further come to understand that Jesus, he died on the cross and he laid down his life to save us from our sins. And then this idea is picked up further in the New Testament. I'd like to unpack this more this morning. So let's look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and Paul is going to expand upon this. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, this is a very popular verse. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And right, this gives us quite a bit more understanding of what exactly this call to take up your cross daily. I think Paul is answering this question for us when he says that he has been crucified with Christ. He says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So right, we see this death to self, the same theme that Jesus was saying. He's calling us to die to self and then to allow Christ to live within us. And it says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we have the reasoning here, right? Back in Luke, eventually Jesus, he's going to lay his life down. And because of that, we're called to do the same thing. We're called to die to self and to allow Christ to live through us. So as our sister Carrie just mentioned, instead of living and desiring those things, right, that list that we read earlier, instead of living for those things, right, we die to all of those and then we live this new life with Christ. And this is all explained thoroughly in Romans chapter 6. Let's turn over there and let's look at this. So right, we're asking the question, what does Jesus mean by asking us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily, right? What is this all about? Well, we definitely got some more information in Galatians 2:20, but let's look at Romans chapter 6. This is one of the most important scriptures in all the New Testament and tells us quite a bit of information. So let me begin with verse, let's see what I have here. Let's begin in verse 1. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been bought from death, or brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So, right, that is really, just the heart of New Testament Christianity, the heart of the book of Romans. And right, we were in Luke and we were kind of wondering, you know, what is this, you know, what exactly is Jesus saying when he's asking us to take up our cross and deny ourselves and follow him daily? And then we see the Apostle Paul spell it out for us and break it down and make it clear and make it plain. This is what God is requiring of us, right? This is the new Christian life. This is what it looks like to walk in the same way in which he walked. And right, just to break this down, right, it's this crucifixion that Jesus is calling each one of us to take up our cross is associated here with Christian baptism. And it says in verse 3, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" Right? We have death. He's calling us to die to self. There needs to be a death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And right, just as we identify with him, we're reading in 1 John, just as we identify with him in this life, right, if we die and we take up our cross and we're crucified, if we're buried with him in baptism, laying our lives down, dying, so too we have the hope of becoming like him in the next life, of obtaining to the resurrection. And verse 5, "For if we have been united with him in his death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified." And what is this old self, right? What was the old self that was crucified? Flesh and sin. And right, what was the passage we read earlier? It was 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. All of those things, right? Those desires, the love of the flesh, those passions, living after the lust of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, all of those things, that represents the old man, right? That is what God is wanting us to crucify, right? That's what we give up when we come to him, right? And when we lay our lives down in baptism. And let's see, so we are, verse 6, we know that the old self, right, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So, right, no longer do we have to keep sinning. No longer do we have this this darkened, this sinful nature, but right, we've been set free by the power of Jesus, by the power of God. We've been turned from the power of Satan unto the power of God. And there's freedom and there's power in his name to have victory over sin. Yes, ma'am. That's All right, yeah, beautiful summary there. And right, we just everything, right, the self. He's wanting us, everything that's under that list of, it could be a number of things, right? The sinful nature, all of those things, he's wanting us to take those to the cross and to die to those things. And it's beautiful what is said here in verse 9. For know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So back, let's just jump briefly back to Luke chapter 9. And as we were reading, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And right, this is kind of this idea of this continual action, right? Not a one-time thing, but right, we're to walk in this newness of life, to continue to follow him. A few more things. Let's keep building on this. So Romans 6, just outstanding passage. We could stay here all day, but let's get a few more in. Let's look at Galatians 5, 16 through 25. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. Okay, so we're progressing, and now we're maybe talking more about what it looks like after we've denied ourselves. We've been, as Romans chapter 6 is clearly presented, we die to the sinful nature. We're buried with him in baptism. We raise to newness of life, and then we're now talking about what it looks like to walk in this newness of life. Verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, right? That's daily walking. And let us become, or let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And I just think it's kind of neat to read Jesus' teaching and then to look at how the New Testament kind of fleshes this out, right? How we have a fuller understanding in the New Covenant of what exactly Jesus is getting here about this crucified living. So no longer living to the flesh, in this long list of things, but living by the power of the Spirit, which we get by, right, Romans chapter 6, by dying and coming to Him, dying in the waters of baptism and being raised to newness of life, receiving that Spirit. And let's just flip right over to Galatians 6:13. It's the next page for me. It says, "For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that you might boast in the flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." And right, do you see what Paul, he's saying? The whole world has been crucified to me. And he's saying circumcision doesn't count for anything. Neither does uncircumcision. But right, what counts is a new creation. Right? And that is what God does to us and what God gives to us. That is the surgery that He does on the innermost part of our hearts when we come to Him and we die to ourselves, right? When we walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, when we surrender to Him, right? When we believe that He is the Christ and that we come to Him and die, just like we read in Romans chapter 6. And, right, this is, I think the question now is put on us. Let's look at verse, let's go back to Luke and just jump over to chapter 14 and read 25. And this will be a good thought to close with. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. It says, "Now great crowds accompanied Him, and He turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him and meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, anyone who does not renounce all that he has cannot be My disciple." I apologize. I'm 6 minutes over. Y'all should have waved me down. We'll close there. But let's, yeah, consider counting the cost and taking up our cross to follow Him.